saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Here today. Yeah, packed house. I would like to think you're here to hear the message. I know we're going to the river. I know we got a lot of stuff happening, and we're so thankful, all of you that are joining us maybe for the first time or second or third time, and we're thrilled to be able to go down and stir the waters of baptism. It's going to be a great time. But until we go down there, we are going to look in His Word just a little bit. Hadn't God been good to us? I mean, I just sit and think about, you know, what we've seen happen over the last 6-8 months. When I don't want to depress you, but, you know, when COVID hit, it just shut the world down, obviously. And we think about how does ministry play into it during such a critical time? We were scared to death. We were all going to die. We didn't know what was going to happen. We couldn't get together. We were afraid to talk to each other. We were afraid to be together. And slowly, you know, we sort of came through with a little more understanding and got to where we were able to come back out to church. You know, I got to looking back. I don't even know why I'm doing this, but anyway, I got to looking back about when COVID hit in March, there the end of March, and basically shut the world down, and nobody could get together. We couldn't do anything. Then got to looking at when we actually had our first service that we felt comfortable saying, come on back. Anybody that wants to, come on back. And you know how long it felt like? Was like 2 years, didn't it? It felt like 2 years from the time it hit to the time we were able to have our first welcome service back and let everybody come back. We were just out 6 weeks. We were one of the first churches in the county to actually come back and say, get on back in here. We're tired of this. We're sick of this. We're going to have church. But it just shows us the importance of what it means to be together in church. It means something, doesn't it? I love the fellowship. I love to be together with you all. And I know it's God blesses that. And He told us in His Word, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And even more so, as you see the day approaching, some people don't worry so much about it. But I see the importance of us worshiping together. I see the joy that we get. I see that we're able to bear one another's burdens. We're praying together. We're talking. And I love being here. And I hope you do too. I hope you love coming and being a part of what's going on. We're not in the entertainment business here. If you want that, you may have to go to a different church in the county. I don't know. But we're not here to entertain anybody. We're here to do the best we can to just tell you about Jesus and pray that all of us are striving together to reach that beautiful relationship with Him. So, that being said, today we're going to continue our study out of Josiah. Stand with me. We're going to look at a little bit of Scripture. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter number 22. Today's subject is God's Word. We've looked at different aspects of his character and stuff he learned and stuff that he demonstrated and expressed as being a young king stepping up to the plate. So today we're going to look at the importance of God's word. Beginning in verse number 8, 2 Kings chapter 22. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, and he brought the king word again. He said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass that when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Uzziah, a servant of the king, saying, go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that is which is written concerning us. Father, as we come to you today, we're thankful for your precious word, that it's not, again, we've said it before, it's not just a history book, though it is accurate history. But God, there's so much that you want us to learn from just how to live life, how to govern ourselves, how we minister, how we serve, how we seek repentance. All these things are contained in this wonderful letter that you've written to us, this book that is alive and breathing, and these words are alive. So God, as we look at Josiah today, as we look at him being exposed for the first time ever in his young life to the word of God, to the commandments of God, and it broke him. I pray that today, God, wherever we're at, that your word will bring us to our knees before you. That if it needs to break us, it will break us. If it needs to encourage and strengthen us, God, that it will do so. That your word is perfect and it will be everything that it needs to be in our lives. We pray for that to happen. Be with us as we look and expound on this scripture a little bit. Forgive me of my sins. God, help me that I've not, if I've got anything that would hinder me today, I don't want to be an obstacle in your way of your word getting out, but I want to be a tool and a vessel, God, that you use to share your word. And I pray that you're glorified and lifted up in all that we do. Thank you already, God, for just being in your house. Everything that's been done so far, we just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at the importance of God's word. How important is it to you? How important is this book to you? What does it mean to you? Are we ready to embrace all of it, most of it, some of it? Are we willing to say, I believe this from cover to cover to be the Word of God? You know, for us to call it the inerrant Word of God is redundant. We don't need to say that, right? If I'm going to say it's the Word of God, then it's inerrant. If I believe this to be the Word of God, what is contained in this book is what I believe that God is saying to us. And we need to choose to believe that. Because here's where we've got to be as people. You know, we believe something. We may say we don't believe. There might be people in the world, well, I just don't believe. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe this. And I don't believe in nothing. No, they believe in something. They're lying to you. They believe in something. You choose to believe in something. I choose to believe in this book. So here's where we've got to be. If we're going to choose to say, I'm going to believe in this book. I'm going to believe this is it's inspired by God. It's the Spirit gave utterance to men throughout history, as they penned words to these scrolls. These words have been translated into language that we can understand. And even though there may be a little bit maybe lost in the translation, you know, we're not reading original Hebrew. We're not reading original Greek. So as far as the translation, yeah, what we've got to trust and believe is this, that what God wants us to have, we have. I believe God's big enough to give us His Word, don't you? Can you read Hebrew? If you can, more power to you. Praise the Lord. I can't. Barely read English. And King James is a little bit tough at times for me, right? It's a little bit hard to the thous and the these and the those and all that. I mean, sometimes I can get a little bit lost. So I have to slow down, you know, one word at a time. Let's break it down and see where we're going to go. But I believe this with all of my heart, that God is a massive God, that if whatever he wants to do, he can do. And I believe that he gave us exactly what we need to have. So I've chosen to say, I believe this to be the word of God. And that means I've got to embrace all of it. I remember talking to a guy, as a matter of fact, it's not been too many months back, and he said, well, I just don't know if I can believe the whole word of God. I said, well, then here's where you got to be. You don't believe none of it. Right? You got to say, I believe all of it, or I can't believe any of it, because that's how God is. We can't pick and choose. Let me read Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 26. When Josiah heard about the word of God being hidden there inside of the temple, you know something? I think it's interesting that that word wasn't found and destroyed, because it's a place none of those pagan priests wanted to go into. They didn't want to go in the temple. They didn't have any part with that. They won't go in there and mess around with that stuff. So here, let me read a verse of scripture, Deuteronomy 31, 26. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. You ever read that scripture? Isn't that interesting? That God told and commanded when they built the Ark of the Covenant to have a place to where they could have, not only they have the tablets and the remains of the tablets are inside of the Ark of the Covenant, but they have these commandments written and beside of it. Maybe they had a pouch. I don't know. Maybe they built something. But they had the Word of God there on the side. And during the reign of these prior 57 years of ungodliness, and they wanted to destroy Jehovah worship. They wanted to do away with it because it interrupted and opposed what the rest of the people wanted to do. Nobody thought to go in there and look, well, maybe there might be some stuff in here. We need to ransack and destroy and tear up. Isn't it amazing how that if God wants to preserve something, it's going to be preserved? God said, I want you to tuck a little scroll there with all the commandments and all the statutes there. Keep it beside the ark so it'll be there forever and ever. And so anytime you need to retrieve it, you can get it. I want to read another verse of scripture to you. Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 and 19. And it shall be that when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, he's talking about anybody, every king, this is a command to them. When you sit upon the throne of your kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. He's saying, you get this book that's at the side of the ark. You pull it out and you copy that. And king, you take a scroll and you keep it beside your throne. He said, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. He's saying this is important for you as a king to seek the word of God. How can a king govern his people unless he's seeking that counsel from God? How can we expect to live unless we're seeking God's wisdom? He said, that's a problem with us, isn't it? That's a problem with America, a problem with the world, is that, yeah, we say, yeah, we believe the word of God, but our actions say otherwise, because we're adopting and accepting and supporting things that are completely in disagreement with the Word of God. Very obvious, too. We don't have to look far to see that people say that they're Christians, say that they believe in Jesus, say that they honor the Word of God, but their lives prove otherwise. I don't have a problem with somebody that has an addictive behavior, that has, you know, we call it the besetting sin, that has something, that a certain temptation that they struggle with time and time again, that have problems with. I don't have a problem with that person that understands and accepts the fact that what they're doing is wrong.
Amen.
I can work with that person. Why? Because they know what the truth is. They've embraced the truth. They're just like me a lot of times. We're not doing the truth, right? My thing is, I know when I sin, it's wrong. I'll tell you what I do have a problem with, though. I have a problem if somebody says what they're doing is okay. And God understands. And God's all right with it. So me and God kind of got our own little thing going. And God understands that this is not really sin, or God didn't mean it that way. Listen, we can try to twist and manipulate the Word of God however we want to. But I'm telling you something. If we choose to believe this Word of God and we're saved by the blood of Christ, the Spirit is going to convict us, and we're going to know what's right and we're going to know what's wrong, because He's going to let us know. And we need to seek Him to gain that knowledge. It's important for us to embrace what the truth of God is. I don't like all of it. Do you? Do you like all of the Word of God? No. I don't like some of it. Because why? Because it convicts me of my life. It convicts me of things I need to know. Because it tells me that I need to obey Him, that I need to follow Him, that I need to sacrifice myself for the glory of God, that I need to take up my cross daily and follow Him and die daily. Yeah, I don't like that. My pride does not like that. But if I'm going to be one that says I seek the Word of God because I believe the Word of God, then I've got to believe that to be truth and do the best that I can to follow that leadership. Second thing is, first we've got to seek it. That king had to seek it. He had to have a table beside his big old throne and his seat where he had that Word of God there. And for 55, 57 years, there was not a copy of the Word of God in the palace until Josiah, as a young man, was exposed to it. And it literally broke his heart. He's thinking, oh my goodness, God, I can't believe we've done this to you. I can't believe my father, I can't believe my grandfather has lived these last 57 years out of fellowship with you. Not only have they lived the lives they've lived, but they've basically denounced you as God. They've refused to heed your word and your truth and your law. They've refused to embrace it, and they've refused to seek it. And if they knew that that copy was in there next to the ark, no doubt they probably would have destroyed it too. They're sick of it. They're tired of it. And so Josiah, when he realized the importance of the word that was spoken to him, hey, God doesn't have to scream at us to bring conviction, does he? Man, he just shows up, doesn't he? Doesn't he just show up to you and you're convicted? He does. He shows up to me. I think about him as being kind of the Spirit of God, being kind of like a light in a dark room. You know, when I'm engulfed in the things that I want to do, when I'm selfish, when I'm greedy, when I'm thinking about me and not thinking about Him, when I'm trying to follow my own will instead of the will of God, when I'm doing what Paul said he did, when I'm struggling with the things that I want to do, I don't do, the things I should do or the things I'm not doing, when I'm struggling with that, and when the flesh is taking over and I'm going through all those things, and God doesn't have to show up and scream at me or smack me in the back of the head, though sometimes it feels that obvious. He literally just needs to show up. The Spirit needs to identify Himself again in my life, though He's already here, but He just flips the light on, and I know, and I'm convicted. I know what I need to do and get on my knees and ask God to cleanse anything that hinders me in my relationship. It's like being in a marriage, isn't it? It's a covenant that we have with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Like being in a marriage, just because you're married and you've got a piece of paper that states so, doesn't make your marriage healthy and successful, does it? Why? Because it requires work. Same thing in our relationship with Christ. It requires work on our part. It requires sacrifice on our part. It requires us to die to ourselves so that He can be lifted up. But the second one is, we need to hide that word in our heart. You know, maybe sometimes we think we know a whole lot more of God's word than we really know. Have you ever been guilty of that? When somebody's talking about a subject that you know a little bit about, or I know a little bit about, have you ever kind of gave a whole lot more information than you probably should have because you think you know a little bit more than you do about things. I used to love it when, being on the job site, years ago and stuff, back when I actually physically worked. I gave that up. That stuff will kill you, man. I don't suggest it. I don't advise it, But if you're doing it, and I remember, because as soon as somebody on the job or somebody new finds out you're a preacher, they want to come out and start talking about Revelation. Everybody, doesn't matter who it is, they want to talk about how things are going to end up, And I'm thinking, it's so comical too, I'm not making fun of the word, but I'm just, the situations are comical how that people have so many random ideas about what they feel like is going to happen in the end times and how this is going to happen and don't agree with this, but I agree with that. So I'm thinking, sometimes we think we know a whole lot more about the Word of God than I believe we actually do. So we need to be cautious there. I don't think anybody outside of God himself knows more about the Word of God than probably Paul did. And he wrote over half the New Testament, so I think he has a pretty good idea what the Word of God is all about. But when I think about him, and I think about his ministry, and I think about his testimony, when he preached to people, he had such a knowledge and understanding of the law. What did he define himself as? Do you remember? He said, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews, which meant I am a Jew of Jews. He's not a priest, but I'm a priest of priests. I know more about the law, the commandments, the statutes of God's word than probably anybody walking on the face of the earth right now. And he said that not in boast, but he said it because his next thing was that when he preached, when he taught, when he witnessed to people, he shared his testimony, which was the most powerful tool that he had. Why? Because it was personal, because he lived it. So I just say be careful when we're talking to people about the Word of God, because you know what we don't want to do is we don't want to lead people astray. I don't want to lead anybody astray. But you know what? I'm called to be the senior. I know they enjoy that. Called to be the senior pastor of the church. And I feel it's my calling to be here on Sunday mornings and to do the best I can to be prayerful and share what word God's given me. Wednesday nights, do the same thing. But I pray that I'm very careful. God, I do not want to lead anybody astray. And so that's why it's important for not just me and not just the ministers, not just the leaders of the church to seek the Word of God and to hide it in their heart. It's important for everybody to hide the Word of God in their heart. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Jeremiah 31:33 says, But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. We've got a not only seek the Word of God, but when we've got it, we've got to hide it in our heart. How can the Spirit of God bring a remembrance of a biblical story or a scripture or a point or a thought? How can He bring that to your mind if you've never read it or heard it before? Amen. It's kind of impossible, right? So how do we grow in the Lord? There are two avenues of how we grow in the Lord. We talk to the Lord by prayer. We lift up prayer, supplication. We lift up requests. We lift up praise to Him. We just are brutally and gut honest and open with Him about what we feel, what's going on in our lives. We talk to Him as if He is our dearest friend because that's what He is to us when we become saved. He's not just our God. He is closer to us than a brother, and He's there listening to us. So we talk to Him, and then we let His Word talk back to us. We let the Spirit bring to us remembrance of things. Have you ever faced a situation and all of a sudden, boom, a verse of scripture pops in your head and it's the answer to your problem? I mean, it gives you the encouragement that you need. I go back and I think before most of the Bible was written, especially the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, all these guys and ladies, they would walk and live by faith, believing the promise of God. They held their life on the promise that God had told them and God had given them. I mean, Abram at the time was willing to leave everything he knew and to go somewhere God showed him to go. God gave him a promise, and he said, Abram, I'm going to have you to be the father of not just some descendants, but a nation. I'm establishing a nation with you. You won't be able to count them. They'll be like stars in the sky and sand on the seashore. You won't be able to count them. I'm going to have this to be your descendants, and it's going to be a great nation. Out of you are all the other nations of the world going to be blessed. Well, how would you like for God to tell you that? You're going to be the father. You're going to be the mother of a nation, and that nation, every other nation in the world is going to be blessed through you. Well, we know that it wasn't Abram that blessed the nations. We know that he's talking about the Christ, the Messiah that was to come. But nonetheless, the promise that God had made to him, then God gave him a child, one child that was the seed of the promise to come. Then God said, Abram, I want you to go sacrifice that one son I told you the promise is going to come from. You better hold on and believe the word of God if you're going to do what God says do then, hadn't you? I couldn't do it. I'm thankful that that was an isolated event, that it was a matter of faith. It was a matter of building that relationship. I know that God did not intend for him to sacrifice his son. That was not the intention. We know that. People can read way too much into that if they want to, but we know what God was doing. God was establishing the covenant between Abram and himself, and God wanted to know that if Abram loved him more than anything and everything else, even his son, that the promise was to come. And you know where Abram was at and what he thought and what he was willing to sacrifice his son. Why? Because he believed the word of God. God had already said, the promise is coming through him. Isaac, the seed, is where the promise is coming. So Abram in his mind said, well, if God lets me kill him, then God must raise him from the dead to be a God and keeper of his own word. Do you believe God's word that much? Abraham did. Abraham's no different than us. We've got to hide it in our hearts so that we live by the promises that God has given us through his word. Maybe not all of them are written. Spirit ever speak to you? Just talk to you? Just give you that? You know, you call it different things. Sometimes people call it a feeling. Sometimes people call it just a direction. Sometimes I call it an unction. I think that's a good way to describe it, just like an unction, because it's more than an emotional feeling, but it's an unction that we get from the Word of God. But he'll give you those unctions that sometimes you can't even really go to a verse of Scripture to pinpoint exactly your situation and exactly what you need to do, but you get an unction. So what do we do with those unctions? We pray about them. We say, God, I believe this is you, and God, if this is you, I'm following you. You're big enough, God, to stop me if this is not right. Or you're a big enough God to bring me encouragement and support to know this direction that I'm going in is the right direction. I'm going to tell you something. God's completely big enough to let you and I know where and what he wants us to do. We say, well, then why doesn't God make it obvious all the time what he wants us to do? Why is it not always easy? Because if it was always easy, we'd never build faith, would we? Faith. We'd never build faith. Faith. We would never build faith. So we got to be tested. We're not tempted by God, we're tempted by the devil, but we're tested by God to see if we're going to not only seek the word of God, but hide it in our heart, and not only hide it in our heart, but live by it and do the best we can to follow it. So we need to seek it, we need to hide it in our hearts, and we need to share it. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12 and 13 says, gather the people together, men, women, children, thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of his law. And that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. And in 2 Kings 23, we get back to Josiah and his situation here. After hearing the word of God, being convicted by the word of God, here's what he did. Verse number 2 of chapter 23, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. We need to share the word of God. Well, I'm just not eloquent of speech, you might say. I'm not really good because I don't know a whole lot about the word of God. I can't really witness because I'm not good at describing things. I'm not good at explaining things. I kind of know it, but it's kind of hard for me. I'm more an introvert than an extrovert, so I'm not really good at talking to people. Listen, we can come up with all the sorry excuses we want to. None of those really matter with God, right? Because did Moses not go through all of them and God had an answer for all of them? Regardless of what limitations we think we may have, God has zero limitations. There's absolutely nothing God can't do. And if God convicts you, if God gives you an unction about talking to somebody, sharing with somebody, inviting somebody to church, talking to them about their relationship with the Lord, how can I go talk to somebody about whether they've been saved or not? When they've worked with me for the last 20 years, they've seen me in some bad situations. They've seen me not being a real nice person. Well, maybe that'll help. Maybe they'll see that you're not perfect, but that you needed salvation just like they do, that you reached out when the Spirit convicted you and you asked Christ to forgive you and cleanse you and come into your heart. Maybe that'll be what makes a difference to them, to see that you're not perfect. Some people that are lost think we're holier than thou and we're perfect and look down on them. You know what they need to see? They need to see that we're just like them. The lost world needs to see we are just like them, only we've been saved and we've been washed and we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They need to see we needed it as bad as they need it right now. And that's where we need to get. We need to share it. When Philip went down to Gaza, he didn't know exactly what he was going to see down there or meet down there, but he knew God had caused him to leave from Samaria and come down. Big heated revival going on up there. I mean, people getting saved left and right. Then God looked at the preacher, Philip, and he said, Philip, leave and go down to Gaza. I got something I want you to do down there. And so he had to hear the word of God and choose to obey the word of God. Left that heated revival, went down toward Gaza, and he went down there and saw that eunuch sitting in the chariot reading a scroll from Isaiah, and the Bible says that he ran, because he had that unction, he ran to that eunuch and jumped up there and he said, hey buddy, you know what you're reading? He said, I don't have a clue what I'm reading. Somebody's going to have to explain it to me. And it says that he at that very scripture began to preach unto him Jesus. Because of that, that eunuch got saved. Goodness. We got to quit worrying about embarrassing ourselves and worrying about what it may cost us to share the word of God with somebody, to tell somebody Jesus loves them. Because you know what may happen? They may believe in Jesus Christ. You're not saving them, but you may plant that seed and let them see the great need that they have for Jesus Christ. You may see some of your best friends. You may see some of your family members. You may see some of your coworkers open up their hearts and ask Jesus Christ to come in. Then, my friend, what are you going to say? You're going to say, oh, it was worth every bit of it. Oh, it didn't matter what happened. To see somebody get saved is the greatest thing in all the world. Don't let ourselves and our pride hinder us from being a witness for Jesus Christ. Scotty, you remember when probably the first time, and this has been many years ago, when you took our first youth group down to that mall down there in Sevierville? Man, they were terrified. I mean, this was, we had the first, you know, big youth group. Took them down there. We did a winter trip, I think, maybe. We said, we're going to go down here and we're going to hand out some tracts and tell people Jesus loved them. And they're looking at us like a deer in headlights. What? We thought we were coming over here and eating and staying up late and singing songs and playing games and doing Bible time. We didn't know we actually had to get involved in something. But you know what? And I remember it, and I know you do too. They were fighting each other to get tracts from us because they wanted to be the next one. After they did it once, they said, "Man, let me have another one. Give me 10, you know, pocket fulls of tracts." Boom, boom, boom. They're just throwing them out like cards. It's amazing what God will give you and I when we surrender to Him. The strength that we don't have, He gives us. The conviction that we didn't have before because we're worried about us, He gives us. And they saw that they were actually making a difference. And you know what, though, what was good about that? And Scotty remembers this too. Not everybody took a track. So they learned what rejection was all about too, right? But you know what? They just kept going. And that's where we've got to get. I can't answer for who I share the word with. That's them and God. We've got to get to the point to where I'm required to obey Him to share it in whatever capacity He gives me and opportunity He gives me to share it. Don't be afraid to talk to people about Jesus. You know what? If you know Him, and if you're saved by His blood, and if He is the greatest thing in your life, let people know it. And don't be afraid of it, and don't be ashamed of it. Because if we're ashamed of Him, He may be ashamed of us. And the last one is this. We need to be impacted by the Word of God. 2 Kings 22 and 11. "And it came to pass that when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." We don't do that today, do we? I mean, they're too expensive, right? We can't just walk around, just ripping our shirts off. Ah, that's terrible. Just pull a sleeve off. We don't do that. But it was a sign of conviction. It was a sign of repentance. It was a sign of spiritual brokenness. When the word of God was shared with him, not only did he feel bad for the last 57 years that had happened, he had no choice in or decision in, but he felt terrible about why it had taken him as long as it did to find the Word of God and get it out there. He was broken. 2 Kings 22 and verse 13 says, he said, "Go ye and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." He was a broken man and he wanted to get that fixed. It impacted his life instantly as soon as it came, and as soon as he heard it, he was a broken man. The Word of God needs to impact us that way too. How are we living? What are we doing? What are we not doing? What conviction is coming our way? Does it affect us? Are we able to push off the conviction or the direction and leadership? Are we able to push those things to the side and say, it's okay, I'll get to that later. Are we able to push that to the side? Or does it really have an impact on our lives? It don't take me a second as soon as I do something I know I shouldn't be doing, or refusing to do something that I know I should be doing, for God's Spirit to just hit me and say, "You know better than that. You know better." It doesn't take me long at all. That's where I want to stay in my relationship with Christ. How scary it would be to not feel conviction when our lives are not where they need to be. How scary it would be to feel as though it doesn't matter what I do, where I go, the things that I'm involved in, doesn't matter. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and that's all I've got to worry about. So I'm just going to live up life however I choose to do it. We can't do that because we're still living in this fleshly body. And you know what? This fleshly body wants to keep sinning because it likes it. So we need to pray that we'll keep that deep personal relationship with God. And so we will be under that conviction. We will be under that unction of that leadership and willing to do whatever we need to do to change our lives to be in the right relationship with Christ. Does the word mean everything to you? It should. It should mean everything because Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. Amen. Stand with me as we begin our invitation. Fathers, we come to you today. We're talking about the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. Just the power of your name, Jesus. We're talking about the unction that we get from your Word and from your Spirit. We're talking about the importance of seeking your Word and putting it inside of our hearts that we may not sin against you, God. And we're talking about the conviction we must feel from it and the desire we need to have to share it. But it all comes, God, from first developing a relationship with you. Your Word teaches us that in order to be saved, we've got to believe in you, Jesus. You died on the cross for our sins. And you said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because you, Jesus, died for us. If there's anyone here under the sound of our voice that's not saved, and that conviction is hitting, and conviction is bringing them inside struggle to their knees, I pray, God, that they open up their heart and give themselves to you today, that today would be a day of salvation. Those of us that are saved, I pray that God will truly embrace the Word of God for exactly what it is. It's not just a book. It's not just a history book. It's your Word. It's your Word to us. And help us to believe it, trust it, and live by it the best of our ability. Whatever we need to do today, whatever decisions need to be made, bring us to our knees on this altar that we can get things right with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come this morning if God's speaking to your heart. Whatever you need to do, whatever burden you need to lay down, whatever struggles you're facing, let's lay those things down. Whatever heaviness of heart you got, let's lay it down here today. I want to embrace the Word. I want to live in the Word. I want to be convicted by the Word. I want to share the Word. Whatever you need to bring today, let's bring it. Lay it down up here. Come this morning, join these that are here, whatever you need to do. Let's let God have His way today. Let's surrender. Let's give it up. Give it to the Lord today. Whatever you need to bring to the altar this morning, let's bring it. Whatever you need to do. Let Him have it. This morning, whatever you need to do. It's our time. It's our moment. Don't miss it. Don't wait. You come today. Lay that burden down up here and just give it to God. Give it to Him. He can handle it. He's big enough. Give it up and give it to Him today. You come this morning, whatever it is, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you need to lay down, you come. Come this morning. You come. There's still time while folks are in the altar. You come. What we're going to do, Scotty, you'll come on up here with me. I'm going to go ahead and kind of run through the list, and if we've missed somebody, just let us know. But as I call your name, we're going to try to get all those candidates for baptism, and some are going to join the church, some are we're waiting, you know, to praying about that. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and start. Miss Hannah Ogle, if you'll come up here. Aaron Fleming, come on up here. Raymond Soule, if you're here, come on up. Just come on wherever you want to get them. Scott, let's get all the guys up here. Little Colson Lambert, come on up here. Cooper Rowland, Hawk Baden, where's he at? Bring him up here. Grace and Megan. Reese, y'all come on up here. Miss Amy Brown.
Big people on that side.
Big people. Big people. Hey, I don't like how he said that, Amy. Okay. Wait a minute, I lost my place. Adeline and Brittany, I got her on a separate piece of paper. Y'all come on up here. Levi Lewis, Brandy, and Travis, come on up, wherever y'all. And is Maddie here? Maddie
no,
Rogers?
No,
she'll be here for another. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So here's what we've got. Okay. Oh, I got my other people too. Where's Jordan and Jade? Come on up here. You guys come on up here. And I've already got Miss Brittany over here. Y'all just come on over here. Okay, we're going to run through this, and then we're going to get ready to go down to the river. I've got Jordan and Jade right here, Thomas, that have been coming to church for some time. I guess what you said about October? Wow, it just goes by like that. So met with them this morning, and they've been coming. They help with Camp Cove. Hey, if you can work Camp Cove, then you can do anything. You know, we figure that's the breaking point right there. So they love the church. They love the people. And so they're wanting to come and unite fellowship with the church. So they're going to be coming by statement of their faith and baptism, because we're going to have difficulty retrieving a letter. So I've got them. And then I'm also going to add Miss Brittany Chandler. She's going to be coming actually by letter from Zion Hill Baptist Church. So I've got these three. The reason I'm doing it like this is the others that will be joining today are all joining by baptism, so we're going to do them as a group. So I present these three to you by statement and by waiting on the letter. What's the feeling of the church? We got a second? All in favor, give us amen.
Amen.
Amen. So then we've got the others here, which will be coming. We're baptizing all the rest of them, but then these will be joining today. Hannah Ogle, Aaron Fleming, Colson Limbert, Cooper Rowland, Hawk Vaden, Adeline Chandler, and Levi Lewis. Those we were presenting to you pending baptism. So what's the feeling of the church on them?
I make a motion we accept and pending their baptism.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, give us a big amen.
Amen.
And the others are praying about it, and so we'll reel them in here before long, so don't worry. But we're excited to go to the river. We're excited to baptize. Scotty, I guess we're ready to pray us out and then let